Have you ever been thrust into a place of leadership or a place where you have had to step out by faith and do the impossible? Well, if so, and you may be in that situation right now, I have a good word for you from Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8. And the Lord, He it is who doth go before thee, He will be with thee, He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Moses made that statement to Joshua. He had already told the people of Israel in Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and of good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, He it is who doth go with thee, He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. I have no problem imagining how Joshua must have felt that day. Moses was bringing to an end his long discourse that we call Deuteronomy. He was reviewing the law for the new generation going into Canaan. And he was giving to the law a deeper meaning. He talks about loving God. He talks about the heart. You won't find this kind of vocabulary in Exodus or Leviticus, where Moses gave the law to the first generation. He gave a deeper meaning to the law and said it isn't enough just to obey outwardly. We have to obey from our hearts. Moses was preparing the generation of Israel to go into the Promised Land. Going into Canaan land meant claiming their inheritance. Please remember that Canaan is not a picture of heaven. We have a lot of songs that talk about crossing Jordan and entering Canaan. Canaan is a picture of our inheritance in Christ, right here and now, not in the future. Canaan was a place of burdens and battles. And the Christian life is a life of burdens and battles, but Canaan was a place of inheritance where God gave them His best. And I hope that you and I are not only entering into our inheritance by faith, but we're helping others to do that. Joshua did not have an easy task to perform. He was following a great leader, Moses. Moses was not permitted to go into the Promised Land because of his sin when he smote the rock. But Moses was a great man. God was about to change his workmen, but his work was going to go on. Imagine following Moses. And imagine leading Israel. Now, these weren't the easiest people. Of course, this new generation had learned the lesson, the discipline of God, and they were not as bad as the others. But Moses said himself here in Deuteronomy 31, verse 27, I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day, ye have been rebellious against the Lord, and how much more after my death? So often in churches, as long as the pastor is there, the people love the Lord and serve the Lord. But pastor moves, or God calls the pastor home, and then what happens? Well, people become worldly. So Joshua did not have an easy time following a great leader, leading a great people who had great problems and sins, and then facing the great challenge of Canaan. The Jews were always tempted to go back to Egypt. God wanted them in Canaan, and this was Joshua's job, to take them across the Jordan into the Promised Land, and he succeeded. He didn't do everything exactly the way it was supposed to be done. He did make his mistakes. He did have his failings, but for the most part, he succeeded. He got Israel across the Jordan River into the Promised Land. He captured Jericho. He captured the other cities. He was victorious. He divided the land up as their inheritance. Joshua was a success. And my question is this, what were the factors involved in his success? Well, you can be sure that fear was not one of them. Fearful people do not succeed. Fearful people are not cheerful people, and fearful people are not successful people. When people are afraid, they don't have faith. Jesus said, why are you so fearful? Where is your faith? What were the factors involved in the success that God gave to Joshua? Well, I think the first factor was God's presence. You'll notice that God said through Moses to Joshua, verse 8 of Deuteronomy 1, and the Lord, He it is who doth go before thee, He will be with thee. Now, Moses had had this same experience, of course, in Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. God spoke to Joshua. Now, not through Moses. Moses was dead. But God spoke personally to Joshua and said, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." And so the first factor involved in conquering Joshua's fear and giving him success was God's presence. Now, we have run across this in all of our studies, haven't we? God promised Abraham he would be with him. Promised Isaac he'd be with him. He told Jacob, "Don't you be afraid to go down into Egypt. I'm going to go down there with you." When the Jews stood at the Red Sea and didn't know what to do, God said, "Now don't be afraid. I'm with you. I'm going to see you through." Now he says it to Joshua. This is what kept Moses going during those difficult years. God was with him. God was with his tongue so he could speak. And God was with his hand so he could lead. And God was with him in those hours of discouragement and despair when Israel just broke his heart. And Moses would cry out to God, and God would say, "Now, Moses, don't be afraid. Don't give up. I am with you." He goes before us, and he goes with us. He goes before us to prepare the way. When he puts forth his sheep, he goes before them. And he goes with us to make sure we take the right way. He is there at our side, and yet he has gone before us to prepare the way. That's the first factor in success in our Christian life, God's presence. The second is God's call. It was God who had called Joshua. Verse 14, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, thy days approach that thou must die. Call Joshua, and present yourselves in the tabernacle of the congregation, that I may give him a charge." So it was God who called Joshua. You see, God's commandments and God's calls involve God's enabling. If God asks you to do something, he's going to help you do it, no matter what that task may be. Someone right now is ready to quit. Your church is breaking your heart, and you want to quit and go somewhere else and let somebody else break your heart. Your Sunday school class is not going the way you think it should. There are problems, difficulties. It's possible you're listening right now and life itself is too hard for you and you're thinking of quitting. Now, don't do it. Don't do it at all, because God's callings always involve God's enablings. The Lord said through Moses to Joshua in verse 7, "Be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord God hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it." Look at that little word there. Thou must go with these people. It wasn't an option. God didn't say, "Now, Joshua, if you want to sign the contract, that's fine." God had already written the contract and signed it for him. If God puts you where you are, he'll enable you to do what you ought to do. Now, God never called you to do what I'm supposed to do. He never called me to do what you're supposed to do. He called you to do what you're supposed to do, and that's it. If he has called you, he will enable you, and he will not fail you. God's presence, God's call, were factors involved in Joshua's success and in our success. Now, there's a third factor, and that's God's faithfulness. Twice in Deuteronomy chapter 31, God talks about not failing. Verse 6, "He will not fail thee nor forsake thee." Verse 8, "He will not fail thee nor forsake thee." You say, that sounds very familiar. Of course it does. It's referred to again and again in the Bible. I'm looking at Hebrews chapter 13, where God says to us, "Let your conversation, your manner of living, be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. God's faithfulness. Now, we fail, but God doesn't fail. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 5, God said to Joshua, "I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." And so Joshua could step out by faith, knowing that God would not fail. I read Joshua 1, 3, and I have to shout hallelujah. God says this, "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you." Not "that will I give unto you," "that have I given unto you." God does not fail. He is faithful. Now, God's people fail, and our feelings fail, and we fail, but God never fails, and He will accomplish that which He has purposed for your life. Here, then, are three factors involved in Joshua's success. He didn't have to be afraid. God's presence, fear not, it is the Lord who is with thee. God's call, you must go with these people, God has called you. God's faithfulness, He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Now there's a fourth factor, very important, God's Word. God's Word. And here we turn to Joshua chapter 1, very familiar passage. Be strong, says verse 6, and of a good courage. Now where does that come from? You say, well, by nature, Pastor Wiersbe, I'm not very strong. Well, maybe I'm not either, but where does this strength come from? For unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Now he says it again. Where do we get this strength? That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper wherever thou goest. In other words, he is supposed to obey the word of God. That's where our strength comes from. When you've obeyed the word of God, you can stand against anything or anyone because you know God is with you. In verse 7, obey God's word. In verse 8, meditate on God's word. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. What digestion is to food, meditation is to truth. As we meditate on the word of God and do it, then God strengthens us. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Where does success come from? The word of God. Obey it, meditate on it, and then trust it. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever thou goest. So if we obey the word and meditate on the word and trust the word, we can be sure that God will enable us to accomplish His will. Well, let's go back to Deuteronomy 31:8. I think you ought to mark this verse in your Bible. The next time you are challenged to a brand new thing, you have to cross the Jordan River. You have to go in and claim your inheritance, and perhaps you are leading others. You ought to read this passage again. And the Lord, He it is who doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. God's presence goes before you and with you. God's call is upon you. Don't argue about it. Just accept it and say, God, if you've called me, then you will enable me. God's faithfulness will not fail. How many times we read in the Word of God, there has not failed one word of all His good promise. I notice in Joshua chapter 21, verse 45, there failed nothing of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. In chapter 23 and verse 14, we read these words. Joshua says, and you know that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. God's faithfulness and God's word. We don't have to be afraid because God has given us here all the factors that make for real success.